Mataji, I think Sri Prabhuji is on the call. She is okay. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Baldev Prabhuji on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4.28.54. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णकृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणी नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरद्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण So welcome all the devotees on the Bhakti Sangha conference group for today's Bhagavatam class. Thankful to all the organizers for having again given me an opportunity to associate with all of you in this particular way and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. So I have been told to discuss with all of you Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 4. Chapter number 28 and text number 54. We are doing 54 and 55 today. So both are purports. So we'll read both of them together. Hamsav aham chatvam charya sakhayo manasayano abhutam antara vaukha Sahasra Parivatsara. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. Will you together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa lake? Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. Purpose. The original home of the living entity and the supreme personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. Even while he is in that position, the Lord remains with him as the super soul, his intimate friend. Because of his forgetfulness, the living entity does not know that the Supreme Lord is accompanying him as the super soul. In this way, the living entity remains conditioned in each and every millennium. Although the Lord follows him as a friend, the living entity, because of forgetful material existence, does not recognize him. We take the next verse. 55th verse. Satvam vihaya mam bandho गतो ग्राम्यमतिर्महिम विचरन् पदम अद्राक्षी कयाचिन् निर्मितम् स्त्रिया. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic. And not seeing me, you have been traveling in different forms throughout this material world, which was created by some woman. Purport. When the living entity falls down, he goes into the material world, which was created by the external energy of the Lord. This external energy is described herein as some woman or Prakriti. This material world is composed of material elements, ingredients supplied by the Mahatattva, the total material energy. The material world created by this external energy becomes the so-called home of the conditioned soul. Within this material world, the conditioned soul accepts different apartments or different body forms and then travels about. Sometimes it travels in the higher planetary systems and sometimes in the lower systems. Sometimes it travels in higher species of life and sometimes in lower species. He has been wandering within this material universe since time immemorial. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasadipaye Bhakti Lata Beach. The living entity wanders into many species of life, but he is fortunate when he once again meets his friend, either in person or through his representative. Actually, it is Krishna who personally advises all living entities to return home back to Godhead. Sometimes Krishna sends his representatives who, delivering Krishna's very message, canvasses all living entities to return home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, the living entity is so greatly attached to material enjoyment that he does not take the instructions of Krishna or his representative very seriously. This material tendency is mentioned in this verse as gramya matihi, sense gratification. The word mahi means within this material world. All living entities within this material world are sensually inclined. Consequently, they become entangled in different types of bodies and suffer the pangs of material existence. Hare Krishna. So we are reading these two beautiful verses from the 28th chapter, which is entitled King Puranjan Becomes Woman in the Next Life. So basically we see here that how the story narrated by Narad Muni is coming to a climax. In the second life of Puranjan, now when he's become a woman and he gets married and then his husband is died now, it is mentioned that this unknown Brahmana comes into picture and then he starts advising this woman who previously in the last life was King Puranjan. So this whole story is actually a story told to a very, very important king. I was just analyzing that in Bhagavatam you will find many stories of different kings. Why so many stories of kingly people I have mentioned? The reason is that whenever something special has to be told to people in general, if a very important person is involved, then through the life of an important person, we can derive many lessons. Like for example, nowadays there are so many disease pandemic is going on. Few people get coronavirus somewhere nearby us. That doesn't get reported in the newspaper, right? Because they are general people. But if some celebrity gets coronavirus, for the next 10-15 days, as long as the celebrity does not come out of coronavirus, the prince will always carry news about what's happening with him. Why? Because he's an important person. Anything happening to him, people are eager to hear about. So the king is a very important person. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that Arjuna, you should lead a path of discharging your duty properly. even if you have qualified and you feel you don't require, still for the sake of leading people as an example to follow, we should give an example for others. And then Lord Krishna quotes the example of Janak Maharaj, King Janaka, that how Janak was a liberated soul, but yet he also set an example. He set an example for others to follow how a king should rule. He did not have any duty to perform himself, being a liberated person, but yet he ruled and he performed Varnashram Dharma for people to follow him. And Krishna also mentions, I also have no duty to perform in this material world, but when I come, I also lead a life of discharging duties so the people, common people, will follow me. So you find in this way, the whole Bhagavatam has more or less many descriptions of many kings and how they lead their life in pure devotional service. There are examples of kings who utterly failed in material life, kings who were very rich and they learned their lesson in a very, very bad way, of kings who are pure devotees since the beginning of their life. And all through those examples, we can correlate how in this life of so many kings, how they, through various stages, they took up Krishna consciousness. Here is an example of a king who was very much part of a very great lineage coming from great Raja Rishis, pure devotees. Yet such this king got entangled in Karmakanda, got entangled in something which was not pure devotional service. And his sons were also devotees, great devotees. But he in between was one person, was an odd person. So now this whole series of chapters about how Narad Muni is using his great expertise in preaching to this king and making him into a great devotee. And he preaches him through an allegorical example. And the example of Puranjan is mentioned here. So these two verses which we are discussing today is amazing verse because it mentions about the profile, the status of a living entity, right? We always want to update our profiles, our status. Here is a profile of a living entity in this material world. How he has come to material world? He was in spiritual world, but he desired to enjoy separate from Krishna. And therefore, he was sent to this material world. In this material world, he is trying to enjoy and going through various species of life. And all through that journey, Krishna as super soul is always with him and trying to help this soul come back to him. So the journey is from spiritual world to the material world and then material world back to spiritual world. So it's like a two-way journey. So till a living entity, a conditioned soul remains in this material world for a very, very long time, the spirit soul and the super soul always guides him. He always accompanies him. So here the Brahmana is representing the super soul. So more or less, we are going to discuss today about very important aspect of how we came to this material world, what's happening in the material world to all of us, and how we have to go back to the spiritual world. So this question has always been a very kind of million-dollar question or very important question for everyone. How did I come to this material world? We were all with Krishna in spiritual world, in the Golok Vrindavan and Vaikuntha, and now we are in this whole arena of Kuntha misery, right? And this material world brings out more and more Kuntha, more and more miseries. How in this world have we come here? This is a question which every sadhaka, or in fact a person who is not in Krishna consciousness, when we preach to them, he also mentions, you say we are from spiritual world, how I came here? So everyone, single person, has a unique reason for coming down. But categorically we can mention some few examples to show that how we came here, right? Like for example, Srila Prabhupada never dealt into the topic of how we came here. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, how the jiva fell from the spiritual world to the material world? And Srila Prabhupada said, well, that's a very good question. But now that question has not so much of meaning because now we have fallen. Now we should struggle and go back. Let me give you an example that when you are traveling on a boat in a river and you fell off from the boat into the river and you're drowning and someone gives you a hand, you catch the hand and come on the boat. But instead of catching the hand, if you ask the person who's in the boat, who's trying to lift you back, first tell me how I fell into the river, then I'll catch your hand. Prabhupada said, first catch your hand, go on the boat, and then all the reasons will come to you by automatically by succession. So there are many examples which acharyas give of how we can understand this coming down into the material world. So I'll give some examples from day-to-day life which I heard in many classes which I attended with many devotees. When devotees are very ingenious in giving beautiful examples which we can relate to our daily life. Like for example, one example I remember very clearly is that this example was given, shared in our ashram. That sometimes in our ashram daily duties, some devotees, they get some service, right? Like to broom the temple hall or to clean certain things or do certain activities. And certain activities, some services which we are given, we may not be interested in that service. Like some service which you like, so we put our heart, energy, everything, heart and soul in it. But some service like we don't find very interesting. So what happens? We just do it for the namesake, for the heck of it. So just imagine we are doing a service. We have been told to do some service. And while doing that service, let's say we are, our mind is not in that service. And suddenly we receive a phone call. Someone calls us. Hello, how are you? Where are you? So now that phone call, the person who is calling us is more interesting to us than the service which was given to us. Or suddenly someone from below calls us, Haribol, Prabhu, Mataji, come here. So immediately you said, oh wow, that looks more interesting than the thing right now I am having in my hand. So most of the time, what we do is we tell the person who is in charge of the service, just 2 minutes, just 5 minutes, I'll come back. I'll come back in 5 minutes and join the service. And then we leave that service and go down. And most of the time, because we are not interested in the service, we go down or we go to attend the phone call or the person who is calling us. And we go for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, we end up half an hour or more time. And then finally we realize, oh, my service is there, I forgot. Then you come running, I'm sorry, 5 minutes was there, but it took some time. And you join the service. So the example is given here that when our mind is not in the spiritual world, we are constantly thinking of something else other than Krishna, then we need a break and this material attracts us. And then we get interested in this material world, we come here, we think just we take a break, little away from our spiritual service, just come back, let's check it out, something, you know. But the checking out is not just 5 minutes, it takes a long time. And again we come back. But meanwhile, this material world, which looks a small journey of a break from spiritual activity in the spiritual world, is indeed a small thing, but in material world, it's indeed a very big experience. Like for example, it is mentioned that our Shastra has mentioned that when we leave the spiritual world and go back to spiritual world from material world, it is just a matter of few moments, not much time. It is not that we are suffering in this material world for lifetime after lifetime, and then Krishna is waiting there for a lot of time, you know, almost like, you know, 10,000 years, where were you? Not like that. In spiritual world, it's just a matter of fact. We leave, and within some time, we come back. But within that time, we come back, there is this whole existence of the material world, which we have to undergo, in which we take birth for so many lifetimes, so many kalpas, so many days of Brahma, etc., etc., so many creations. So it's a journey. So that's called relativity of time. So this is the explanation given, a small, simple, day-to-day example. I remember many years back, around 10, 12 years back, in our temple, Devamrit Maharaj had come. And another similar question was asked to Maharaj, Devamrit Maharaj. And Devamrit Maharaj gave a very wonderful example, a very modern example or day-to-day example, which people can relate. So that time, I remember the place where he was giving example, that place was a new ashram. And devotees there had not eaten pizza. I mean, it was a very rare thing to eat a pizza that time. So Devamrit Maharaj took the example of pizza. Just like in your ashram. One of you decides or has a deep desire to eat pizza. Now he knows in the kitchen of the ashram, he will not get a pizza. But he wants to eat a pizza. And that desire has overwhelmed him. And he wants to have a pizza. Now, daily in his kitchen, in the temple kitchen, ashram kitchen, he's getting all kinds of varieties of prasadam, good quality, good taste, everything is best. But somehow or other, one particular day, he gets a desire to eat a pizza. So what is the option now? So now he knows that in this temple, I can't get this pizza. So he decides to check out some other avenues. So maybe he'll get a phone call on that day. Some devotee in the household ashram, Prabhu, please come to my house. Today Mata is making pizza. Wow, why not? So he may bunk a dinner from a temple and may go to the devotee's house and eat pizza. Or maybe the temple has a Govinda's restaurant. So he'll go to Govinda's restaurant and eat a pizza there. So activity which is not a regular activity of his. From his regular activity, he's taken a break, gone, and came back. So he had a desire to eat pizza, he went and ate pizza and came back to the temple, came back to the ashram. Now many times we have seen that when we have such desires to eat something or something and we make an extra endeavor, most of the time the desire which we have does not get fulfilled to the extent we want. Is it not? Like, for example, I remember I'm also involved in youth preaching. So just outside one university in Mumbai, we have rented a place where many students stay there. So around 20 students were staying in this house. And a few of the students were in the last semester, so they were passing out and they had got good jobs. So they had promised to all the other students that when I get the first salary, then we'll give a feast, a party. So immediately all the devotees were waiting for the first salary. So these two students who had passed out and now got into office or work, when the salary came, they said, "What do you want?" He said, so all the students said, "We want pizza." And fortunately for us, that time, just next to our place, the university where we were preaching, one devotee had opened up a restaurant. And he had one of the delicacies of cuisine was pizza. So immediately we asked that person, the hotel devotee, that can we come for pizza? He said, "Prabhu, please come. The doors are open. We'll do some concession for you." So all the devotees had asked, these two devotees were sponsoring, how much pizza we get? And they had told Prabhu, "Unlimited, how much you want you can eat." So everyone was excited. Unlimited pizza, we're going to a restaurant who's going to cook the best pizza and with right ingredients. So there was an excitement in the whole of our youth hostel. It was an evening time, we had to go for a pizza. So all students actually had literally taken not much of in the lunch. They had fasted kind of thing so that evening they can take nice prasadam. Now, all of us went there, 25 of us, and the pizza was excellent. The hotel was great. The problem was one thing. As I told you that, you know, when we have a desire to gratify our senses, most of the time, even if we gratify our senses, it is not exactly the extent we need it or we want it. Our heart is not satisfied. So we went for the pizza, and all the boys, in the next 2 hours, ate pizza as much as they want. But after we came back, I asked all the boys, "So, how was the pizza?" I said, "Well, it was good. Okay." Then I realized that everyone was not exactly as satisfied as they were very much gearing up before they went to the hotel for pizza. So then I realized what was the reason is that the pizza, the devotee was making good pizza, it was a good hotel, and it was all offered, everything was good. But the problem is, suddenly 25 people, hungry people coming to the hotel, he could not supply pizza at the rate at which the devotees were eating. So what would happen is everyone will get a pizza after we eat one bite or other one slice. And after 15 minutes, his next slice will come because it will go to all 25 devotees. Just imagine if you're hungry and if you eat prasadam and you get one chapati or one pizza and immediately after 10, 15 minutes you have to wait, another pizza comes. Hot pizza, but after, how slow you can eat. So 2 hours they all sat and ate 15 minutes one pizza, ate unlimited, but they didn't have fun. So this is how material world works, that it sometimes satisfies us whatever desires we have, but the heart's content satisfaction is not there. So this is something which we learn from this material world, that we come from a spiritual world with a desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. And many times in our journey in this material world, we get a lot of options to enjoy separate from Krishna. But somehow or other, it does not satisfy our heart at all. Because the quality of enjoyment in the spiritual world is quite high, and the quality of material enjoyment is very low in this material world. We do not satisfy. We do not satisfy us. Just like if someone is eating a chapati or a roti with a lot of ghee and hot every day, and after some time, he is given a chapati or a roti, which is like a dry chapati, and it's cold for many days, kept in the fridge, refrigerator. What will happen? He will eat the chapati, but he will not have the same taste or rasa as the regular chapati. So something like that, in short, in simple word, the comparison can be given that how we are trying to enjoy in the spiritual, in the material world, but we come to the point of understanding slowly in due course of time in our life, that yet we are missing something important, something of great quality. And finally, to the words of acharyas, the association of devotees, you understand that yes, it is all in the spiritual world where we can enjoy exactly to our heart's content in association with Krishna. So this is some few words about how the journey from spiritual world to material world happens, and now we are frustrated here. But while we are here in this material world, another one thing is that even though there is so much misery around, as mentioned in this verse, this whole material world is governed by some woman. And Prabhupada says that some woman means Prakriti, the material energy, Durgadi. She is governing. She is such a fine organizer that we have to get frustrated. She thoroughly frustrates us. Prabhupada gives an example that in the material world, anywhere you go, you ask people, how are they? And everyone is saying, I am fine. Right? You go to any person. Sometimes visit hospitals. Sometimes visit people who are sick. And out of courtesy, you ask, so Prabhu, how, Mataji, how are you? And automatically that thing is there in the mind. The answer, the reply is, I'm fine. So there's nothing fine in the whole thing. Person is sick in the hospital, but yet those words come out, I am fine. Srila Prabhupada gave a brilliant example. At one time there was a man who went in the forest, and then he realized that he was being chased by a tiger. So he ran very fast for his life. The tiger was chasing him. And he ran so much that he did not see a dry well, just covered by grass. And he plunged into the well, only to realize that he was falling into a deep, dark well. And suddenly he caught hold of something. That was a branch of a tree. So within the well, there was a branch which was moving around, and that man caught hold of the tree branch. On the tree branch, there was a beehive. So when he caught the hold of the branch of the tree, that whole tree branch was shaken. So all the honeybees got disturbed. They came and started biting this person. So now this person was in a dilemma. And if I again try to climb up the tree, the branch and go up, the tiger is waiting for me. And here the flies, the honeybees are biting me. When he saw down in the well, there was a deadly snake which was looking at him. So there was problem down, there was problem up, there is problem on the branch. And then he saw there were some rats which were like cutting or eating those branches of a tree. And slowly and surely, as they're cutting the branch of the tree, the branch was going to fall down, and he was going to fall down along with that. But because he was hanging on the tree, the branch, the shaking of the branch caused the honey bee, the hive, to also shake. And from the hive, every 5 minutes, one drop of honey would fall. And that would exactly fall on the tip of the tongue of that person. So Prabhupada gave an example that every 5 minutes he was feeling nectar, he was happy, he was tasting it. But he was also aware that all around me there is danger. But when the taste came, he was so happy. He was waiting when the next 5 minutes, again the taste will come, again the nectar will fall. So Prabhupada compared this to the material world, that everywhere there is danger, padam padam yadi padam natesham. Yet in between some happiness comes, then that happiness keeps us going. We think that this happiness will come again, this happiness will come again. But in the midst of miseries, we have to wait for that happiness to come, which is very shulka, very small, negligible. Right? So this example Srila Prabhupada gives us to understand that how we are all in this material world, we may get our teeny bit of happiness, but yet in comparison to the miseries we are suffering in and what's coming in the future in the form of death, it's all negligible. It's all very small. So Therefore, the most important thing is to realize a very important fact in this life, that this material world is a miserable place, right? And time and again in the scriptures, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, it is repeated again and again. And even when we hear lectures, we find every time we hear this topic, material world is a dangerous place, a miserable place. We never hear someone saying in the lecture, material world is a very great place, stay here. No, we always hear material world is a miserable place. But it takes time for us to digest that knowledge also. It takes time. It's not easy to understand. It's easy to know here, but to realize it takes time. I'll tell you a nice story, one example of once a student. This was told to us by Gauranga Prabhu. So Gauranga Prabhu is from Muskan, Mumbai, at Chupati. So Gauranga Prabhu was preaching in one very famous university, IIT, Indian Institute of Technology, Mumbai. And it is mentioned that when he was a student, he had a friend. So he had become a devotee. And as a devotee, as a student, he also was trying to preach and make his friends also devotees. So that time they had got a system where in their own hostel room, they would cook prasadam. They would not take in the hostel canteen. They would take in the rooms. So 5-6 of them, they would come together, cook in turns and cook prasadam, breakfast, lunch and dinner. So there are many people who are coming to the program. There was one such person, one boy, who was a friend of Gauranga Prabhu. He somehow or other liked prasadam, but he did not like Krishna consciousness much. And in fact, many times he would think that what is this so much of fuss about this material world is miserable place? What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. So his idea was that, you know, his Hare Krishnas are good, they have good prasadam. So they had kept a criteria for taking prasadam. If you want to come and take prasadam daily with us, these devotees who were actually cooking, they had kept a criteria that you would at least chant one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this friend of Gauranga Prabhu thought, let me just chant one round, you know, but I'll get prasadam. So he kept the minimum criteria, chanted every day just one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So every day he would chant one round, but he would come and take prasadam, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He was very happy. And in this way continued. But he also had to attend lectures. So in lectures, again, the same thing. You hear often, material world is miserable place, this is Kalayam Ashashwatam. And he would feel that, why this ISKCON people are saying so much about material world is miserable. This person, this friend of Gauranga Prabhu, had also got a placement. He was in the last year of his college. His university had already got placement. He had got a job in USA, in some place, as a software designer, engineer. So he knew, he thought, they are saying the material world is miserable. Well, they don't know. I'm going to go to America, USA. There is so much happiness there. So maybe for them it is miserable, but for me a lot of opportunity is coming up. So he did not take Krishna consciousness seriously. He had doubt on that idea which was being constantly told to him in lectures and in books. Material world is a miserable place. So he, after the whole thing, he went to America. When he reached America, he was excited. This is a place of enjoyment. After some time, he realized, oh no, this job is miserable. But he thought, maybe I'll change my position. Maybe my job is miserable. So he decided to do more education. He applied for master's degree. He thought, by doing master's degree, I'll be happy. But while doing master's degree, he was miserable. Then he thought, maybe I'll do PhD, I'll be happy. So he did PhD. And while doing PhD, he was miserable. So he was not knowing what's wrong with me. I got a job in America, miserable. I got master's, I'm not happy so much. I doing PhD, not happy so much. Then maybe he thought, maybe I should get married, I'm alone. So he got married and he thought, I will be happy now. But again, it was not as simple as what he thought. It was a difficult challenge life in married life. It was miserable also for him. So it is mentioned that one particular time, Gauranga Prabhu, after he joined the ashram and later after many years, let's say 15 years, something like that, one time he was visiting one temple in America, Laguna Beach, and he was giving a class there. So after his class, he was leading Kirtan. And during the Kirtan, after Kirtan was over, one gentleman comes and he asks Gauranga Prabhu, do you recognize me? Do you recognize me? So Gauranga Prabhu wants to, I don't remember you. You don't remember my name? And then he recollected, oh, you are my friend. When I was a student in the IIT, you also were there and I tried to make you a devotee, but somehow you lost touch, you went to America. And he narrated the whole thing that I thought this ISKCON people are just cheating others, saying this material world is a miserable place. I came to America, master's, PhD, got married, still miserable. Then one particular day, he said, I was going, walking on the street, I saw devotees chanting Hare Krishna. So I came to know that there is a temple in Laguna Beach. So I saw them distributing books. So I had Bhagavad Gita previously, but I never took interest of that. I don't know where the Gita I had kept. So I purchased another Bhagavad Gita. And I took the address of a temple. I came to a temple. I read the Gita. And slowly, slowly, I understood that this material world is indeed a miserable place. Said, I took so much of prasad. And it took 15 years for that prasad to get digested and me to understand, come to conclusion that material world is a miserable place. So the point to be driven here is that it takes time, even for us devotees to realize, to come to this understanding, this material world is a miserable place. It's a shane shane, it's like a gradual process. It's not like we are same as before. If you're practicing Krishna consciousness for some years, it is not like when we came to Krishna consciousness, that understanding is same as understanding now. No, it's a developed understanding, but yet more milestones have to be reached, have to be covered for the ultimate understanding of material world is indeed a miserable place. So what is the solution? Even though our conviction is so strong, many devotees like us, like me, my conviction is not so strong, yet the solution is already given in Shastra. Material world is a miserable place, but what is the option? Devotional service, bhakti yoga. We read so many times in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, other literatures, Srila Prabhupada's classes, they mention very beautifully that all other process of spirituality, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, they will not work fine for you. Because they will have some conditions. Conditions apply. For karma yoga to be successful, there is time, place, circumstances. For jnana yoga, there is time, place, circumstances of execution. For ashtanga yoga, you require particular sort of mentality, mood, time, place, circumstances. But when it comes to bhakti yoga is all about na smarane na kala. In this age of Kali Yuga, bhakti yoga is made very simple. We all have to do nothing but to chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right? And it all begins by hearing. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevam. It all begins by hearing. We all came to Krishna consciousness first by hearing. We read some book, we heard, it's all about hearing or reading, right? And then we came to know something, and then we began association of devotees. So, enlightenment knowledge is very important in association of devotees. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj was visited in Delhi once by a very rich man. The rich man was coming regularly to the temple, but he was not kind of serious in bhakti. So he knew that he is having some issues. So it is mentioned that he approached Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and asked, Maharaj, I want to practice bhakti, what should I do? So Maharaj said, chant. Maharaj, what should I do? I don't have time. So Maharaj asked, how many hours you are very busy? He said, 22 hours I am busy. Maharaj surprised. Person is 22 hours busy. What is the schedule? So, whole time goes in business, traveling, hardly sleep 4 or 5 hours, and busy with so much of earning money, growing business. I only have 2 hours. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj said, okay, 2 hours. So use your life, 2 hours, in Krishna consciousness, whatever you have. So I don't know what to do in 2 hours. Some devotees tell me that I should chant 2 hours, 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And some devotees tell me to associate with devotees. So what should I do, Maharaj? So Maharaj gave a brilliant answer to him. He said, you should take association of devotees in 2 hours. He said, Maharaj, shouldn't I chant? Chanting is the ultimate aim of the goal of Kali Yuga. He said, no, you associate with devotees. That's important for you. So he began associating with devotees for 2 hours regularly. So why did Maharaj inform him to associate with devotees instead of chanting? Because Maharaj knew very well. And it happened so future. In future, there was transformation in this person's life. Because by associating with devotees, Maharaj knew very well that he will come to know that what I am doing for 22 hours of my life, sheer working hard, trying to grow my business more and more, and in this material world, which is temporary, right? So much of investment of my energy, all into something which is temporary. All this information he will get in association of devotees. And once that information he gets in association of devotees, he understands and he sees similar people like him, who are also rich, but devoting their time in Krishna consciousness and doing the necessity of leading their businesses and their jobs, and also practicing Krishna consciousness, he'll realize that I did not work hard, keep myself busy in material life for 22 hours and give Krishna consciousness only 2 hours. Rather, I should balance. So the formula which he applied helped him. In due course of time, he realized that I should not be so busy, and eventually he balanced his life, and eventually he got a chance to chant, to read books, to attend temple programs, to come to temple associate. Everything came in his life. It all began with associating with devotees, and then Shravanam and Kirtanam. So it all begins with association. Our spiritual life also begins with association of Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan once. It was very hot summer that time. So Prabhupada was on his terrace and he was writing some things, maybe a small book or a letter, something like that. And there was a pen kept next to him. That pen was a very, very costly pen. Someone had given a pen, a Parker pen. Parker is a very costly pen. So he had kept that pen. Suddenly, Srila Prabhupada's one very close associate, an old friend of Prabhupada from Vrindavan, he came. And those times, Parker pens were a luxury item in India. So then he opened his eyes wide open. He said, Bhaktivedanta Swami, you have a Parker pen. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I write my books. My writings are all in Parker pen. And Prabhupada chuckled and said, I write my books and my writings in Parker pen. And anyone who reads my writings, he will also get a Parker. So he was surprised. How will you get Parker? And Prabhupada said, if you analyze this word Parker in Hindi or in Sanskrit, Parker also means par. Par means take on the other side, right? Like someone has to cross over. In crossover, Sanskrit is called as par. Kar means to do. So Parker means, Prabhupada said, by reading this, the person will get benefit of Parker. He will cross over the ocean of birth and death. So by associating with Prabhupada and Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada's followers, so many wonderful devotees all over the world, we have also got an opportunity to receive that Parker, to go from this material world and make our leap, our journey to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada would do darshans in the night, in the evening time. And they would open Prabhupada's room and all the devotees would rush in. Sometimes some important people from Vrindavan or Delhi, they would come to meet Prabhupada. So one particular day, one cat, she was like always roaming the temple there. She just entered into Prabhupada's darshan room. And before the devotee who was guarding Prabhupada's room could catch the cat, the cat just jumped in, ran and directly came and sat exactly at the place where Prabhupada's feet was there. Prabhupada was sitting on a sofa, on asana, and he kept his feet down. The cat came and kept and took the, like taking shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet. The cat came and sat near Prabhupada's feet. So Prabhupada saw like this. And Prabhupada was answering a question. While answering a question, Prabhupada was, with his leg, Prabhupada was kind of gently patting or caressing the cat. So devotees were like, you know, hearing answer, but also were thinking, what great fortune this cat has got, you know. And Prabhupada using his leg, both his feet, and kind of, you know, scratching the back of this cat. So that happened for 2 days in a series. Next day also the cat came. And after third day, the cat was like, no one could see the cat, where the cat was. And later, devotees realized that the cat actually had left the body and died. So the devotees came to know, and one of the devotees came and said, Srila Prabhupada, that cat who came for your darshans and by your mercy, you gave chance and you were caressing and you were scratching the back with your lotus feet. That cat has died, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, that cat was a yogi in the last life. He had almost finished everything, but he had missed association of devotees. So he came here, he got it, and he has gone back to God. So the devotee was narrating the story. He was mentioning that we do not know who all come and take part in this ISKCON society. Some of them come with a new blank slate. They don't have anything. They are going to start their progress in Krishna consciousness. Some have come with many lifetimes of Krishna consciousness. Some have come with almost ending their sojourn journey in this material world. Just few moments or few years, they come, they progress, and they make it fully. And they agree with that. So, in this way, we can see that how Srila Prabhupada's example is given, that of association of devotees. By associating with devotees, we get a chance to connect with Krishna and make our journey from material world, Parkar, to the spiritual world. So, yes. One important concept while we also discussed about our stay in the material world and to go beyond material world, it's a very important thing which we learn from the life of another great king. We're talking about one great king whose name is Bali Maharaj. Recently, we had celebrated the appearance day of Lord Vamandev. And every time we celebrate Vamandev appearance day, we actually discuss the glories of Bali Maharaj, of how his Atma Nivedanam, he surrendered to Vamandev. So just brief about Bali Maharaj's wonderful contribution in Krishna consciousness. If you analyze Bali Maharaj agreed to degrade himself materially because he knew, if I degrade myself materially, I will upgrade myself spiritually. So trying to drive a concept here, I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, the late Maharaj from ISKCON, Gujarat. So he was mentioning this beautiful point. Bali Maharaj's example is a powerful example. Bali Maharaj was warned by his spiritual master Shukracharya. He was warned by all of his associates. He knew very well that the person whom he is healing in charity is Vamandev. But he was very happy. He was warned that this person may trick you. He is asking for 3 steps of land, but he may end up taking all that you have. But Bali Maharaj was calculating that I am a king. I am known for giving charity. And if I have something to give in charity and someone who is highly qualified, Lord Narayan himself has come to ask charity, how can I refuse him? Bali Maharaj also got training from another guru of his life, Prahlad Maharaj. So now he had to balance now, which guru, Shukracharya or Prahlad Maharaj, which one is the best? He knew that when Lord Krishna has come in the form of Vamandev, I should not cheat him. I should not trick him. Right? I already promised I'll give him. Now I can't trick him. So Bali Maharaj was warned, and in front of his eyes he saw Vamandev became huge in size, Trivikram. He covered all the sky, covered all the land. In 2 steps, he covered everything which Bali Maharaj had. He was warned and he saw it in his life happening. He voluntarily degraded his material life. But he knew very well, if I give something to Krishna, Lord Vishnu, I will never be loser. I will always gain. And he had to wait for that time. Patience, he had to wait. And finally, in due course of time, he was, actually he lost everything. And then Lord Vamandev had also covered him like a prisoner bound by Nagapash. He was completely tied up in front of his demoniac friends, followers, his wife, his guru. And everyone had told him not to do it, and still he did it. Vamandev completely tricked him and took away everything from him. He was like the person who was recognized, appreciated, glorified, was now a point of ridicule in his life. But he went through all that. And finally, Lord Vamandev became very happy and asked him, I am very happy and pleased with your service. But you have to give a 3rd step. And Vamandev and Bali Maharaj said, I have given everything to you, but I have not given myself to you. Place your feet on my head. So when actually Bali Maharaj surrendered fully to Krishna, to Lord Vamandev, that time Lord Vamandev asked him benediction, what do you want? I don't want anything, I'm happy, just whatever is with you. I'm just happy with the devotional service you are giving. And that time Vamana Deva told him that you wanted to become Indra, right? So I can't change Indra's position now because the new Indra has already come. The current Indra is there. But I promise you, the next Indra you will become. But till that time, because you are not Indra, you will have opulence which is much more better than Indra. So I will give you Sutta Loka planet, the heavenly planet, which is the nether region heavenly planet, Bilvaswarga. So I will give you that planet, which is as or more opulent than Indra. So you will rule like Indra. The next life will become Indra. And third important thing is, I will always be with you. So Vamandev actually gives himself to Hari Maharaj. And Vamandev became the doorkeeper of Hari Maharaj, because he wanted to guard Bali Maharaj. And this Bali Maharaj, it is mentioned later, Ravana came to know of Bali Maharaj. Ravana came, wanted to conquer Bali Maharaj, only to find Vamandev on the footsteps, on the doors of Bali Maharaj. So Ravana came and challenged, I want to conquer Bali Maharaj. Vamandev said, no business. And Vamandev just gave a kick. And with that one kick from Suta Loka, it is mentioned, Ravana was kicked from Suta Loka, he came flying back to Lanka. And he landed back in Lanka, in his own kingdom. Never to try again to go to Sutala, because he knew that Bali Maharaj is protected by none other than Lord Vamandev. So here is an amazing concept of lowering something for a higher gain. In a software, and there is this concept in system. And this comes in the graduation studies of software design. This concept is called as graceful degradation to graceful degradation is a concept mentioned. So this graceful degradation is a concept where it is mentioned that when the operating system or computer system tries to lower down all its working style, because the operating system can analyze a threat which has now come on the computer in form of virus or something. So when there's a threat on the computer, then that time the computer system automatically degrades its functioning and works on a basic minimum function level. Because if it works on the same level, then it may get destroyed or it may get disoperated. So it functions low. When it functions low, that time is trying to recover the system. And eventually when time comes, like for example, I'll just give another example to put this point. Sometimes when you're using our mobile phone, right? And suddenly you find our power is cutting off, right? The power is less. As soon as the mobile goes beyond 5% or 10% of that battery remains, immediately the mobile starts switching off many apps, and also the brightness of the mobile phone goes down. Same happens with computer also, because it tries to run the whole mobile in a minimum ultimate, what they call it, saving mode, right? Saving mode. And that mode is trying to run, because it's a catastrophe, it's a calamity which has come. And eventually the system, when it again is up, again starts functioning nicely, then it's again upgraded. So that is called as graceful degradation. So that concept is also in our spiritual life. Many times this material world, we come across situations in our life where there is some possible threat or a critical phase in our life. We go through a lot of problems. So our acharyas, our devotees, our shastras are always told us, in such cases, we should go through graceful degradation. We should lower down our material needs. We should be a little lower in all our material things, and take to, of course, graceful degradation should also lead to eternal upgradation. Bali Maharaj did graceful degradation because he knew what's going to come. So devotees in these times of such threats and crises should take up Krishna consciousness a little more seriously. Whatever the basic things they are already doing, they should take it more seriously and start working on the spiritual life. And eventually we see that this whole stage of crisis which has come up, it goes away. But meanwhile, we took up spiritual life very much seriously. Those realizations of spiritual life stay with us and we get eternally upgraded. So like for example, this one devotee, Shubha Vilas Prabhu, he writes very beautiful books on Ramayana. So in Ramayana, he mentioned a very beautiful point of going offline and coming again online. So he mentioned that sometimes people have to go offline to remain sane, because every time they're online, they are with the material world, into the media, into everything. So they took offline, they go offline and they can come back online. We do always often in our lives. So he analyzed this thing and he said, Lord Ram also, he was a great king, but he would also go offline. Suddenly he would disappear from his palace and no one knew where he would go. So where he would go? He would go to a nearby ashram somewhere and he would go to that sage ashram sadhu. He would sit with them, hear from them. And then again, he would be happy, like he would be back. He would be very satisfied. And then again, he will come back online to do this kingdom. So Shubhilas was mentioning this beautiful point. Many times devotees also have to learn this art of going offline from the regular duties, which they are doing so much in details, which has to be done. But sometimes take a break from that and concentrate more on something which you're missing. As devotees, we always say, you know, Prabhu, I have not chanted nicely for a long time. Prabhu, I have not read Srimad Bhagavatam for a long time. Mataji, I have not done this service for a long time. So we have something always lacking in our life. So take a break and we, whatever we lack in our life, we try to practice in our life. We try to take a retreat for us, our spiritual life, a kind of a recreation. We come back and whatever we are missing, if you're missing to chant good rounds in the morning, so maybe take a break for a day or two, a holiday or something, and exercise that by chanting in the morning. So at least we will not feel, you know, I have not missed for a long time. At least for 2 days, I got a chance to chant in the morning with devotees, with deities, with our family. Not read Bhagavatam for a long time. Okay, let's take a break. 1 day, switch off the phone or something, like whenever possible, adjust our days and read Bhagavatam for 1 hour. Whatever we are missing, we try to apply that. That's called graceful degradation to eternal upgradation. So the point we have to come to a realization eventually in our life, this material world is a miserable place. And we need to again go back to spiritual world, which is the only place where we can get satisfaction to our heart's content. I'd like to end my class with a beautiful bhajan I remember, which was sung by Sulanas Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Maharaj was that time making this Abhay Charan video series, Prabhupada series. And that time he sang many bhajans. Many of his bhajans were like from other local Vaishnava sects. So one Hindi bhajan which Maharaj very beautifully sung. Many of you must have heard also this bhajan. Very beautiful bhajan. But very meaningful and exactly fitting what we are discussing today's purpose. He sang this beautiful bhajan. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda ka naam le, Govinda ke naam bina और कुछ आवे न काम रे. So Maharaj sang this beautiful bhajan that Bhaj Govinda, please sing the names of Govinda. Please sing the names of the Govinda. Govinda ka naam le, please take the holy name of Govinda. Why? Why Govinda ke naam bina, without the names of Govinda, anything else in this material world will have no use to you ultimately. Or kuch na aave kaam re. Nothing will work. Nothing will help you. Only Govinda's naam will help you. And he sang further. Ye jeevan to sukha dukha ka mela, duniyadari sapno ka khela. Ye jeevan sukha dukha mela. This life is all about sukh and dukha. Life is all about sukh and dukha. That means a mixture of happiness and distress. This life is compared to a fun fair, a mela of happiness and distress together. Sukha dukkha mela, duniya dari sapno ka khela. Whatever we are doing here is ultimately like a dream. It's going to end anyway, anytime. Duniya dari sapno ka khela. We're trying to balance so many things in our life. It's all temporary. Maharaj said it's all temporary. Sapno ka khela. It's all a dream. Jana tujhko hai akela. You have to realize, ultimately we have to all travel all alone. Jana tujhko hai akela. The next destination, wherever we are going, we are not going to carry anything, any person with us, no matter how dear that person is. Jana tujhko hai akela and bhaj Govinda ka naam le. since we had to go all alone in our journey to the spiritual world from material world, or remain in this material world all alone, the only thing is going to come to our rescue is Govinda ka naam le, and the names of Govinda. So there are two things. One is healthy fear in this material world. Material world is a miserable place. At the same time, taking shelter of the ultimate thing, that is the holy name in the association of devotees. And if we can do these two things properly, we can come to realization of how material world is a very difficult place, and how that we can also realize simultaneously that Krishna is the only shelter. Then we are walking already on the path of Krishna consciousness, but with this realization, we walk faster in our progress to Krishna, and ultimately we can make our journey from material world to spiritual world. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a nectarian and wonderful class, Prabhuji. I request all the devotees, if you have any questions or realization for the Prabhuji, please you can share.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a nice class. Prabhu, I had one question. I really liked your class, especially how the devotee association helps somebody to understand how material world is not the right place for us, miserable place. But I'm also practicing now, so I wanted to check, how do we give that proper association to youth? To help them understand that material world is a miserable place. Right now, they're not in a... It seems difficult. It seems that they're thinking they're in a quest to enjoy like that. So I wanted to see your thoughts, Prabhu.
Yeah. Thank you for asking this question. I think so. You're asking generally about youth, right? Nothing to do about devotees in youth in our Krishna consciousness, right?
Oh, yeah, I was referring to, especially, I have a 17-year-old son. So, in that context, I was asking Prabhu specifically, yeah.
Yes. Thank you for the question. So, yes, when people are young, that time senses are very strong, the mind is very highly active, and they want to explore this material world, they want to do something. So, the philosophy does not register to them so much. However, Srila Prabhupada also, when you see, he came to preach in New York. When he came to New York, he was preaching to young people. And Prabhupada, if you see, along with the techniques he used, the strategies he used, of course, his purity was there, definitely. But you see that Prabhupada never gave much of philosophy and kind of very long, strong dosage of Krishna consciousness, that you have to do this. Prabhupada always was very lenient to them. But Prabhupada always was expressing his love to them. Every one of Prabhupada's disciples, they would all agree with this point that Srila Prabhupada's love attracted them to Krishna consciousness. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's English was a typical Indian English, which was very difficult for them to even understand. The philosophy was strange. Prabhupada's dialect was strange. What made them keep coming to Srila Prabhupada was Srila Prabhupada loved them. And Srila Prabhupada fed them nice prasadam. So, I personally feel that when I also do preaching of youth preaching here in Mumbai, and also try to preach to, try to cultivate congregation kids, it doesn't work in terms of telling them rules, regulations, philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's more fun, because right now they're fun seeking and we need to give fun to them. If you don't give fun to them, then they will get fun from outside material world. So while they're experiencing fun in the material world, which we cannot neglect, we cannot stop that, because they are going in the outside world, studying and all. They have friends. You know, more of them, they're all online also. We also give them the experience of fun in Krishna consciousness. So whatever they like, we encourage them. So they like to take nice prasadam. Prasadam is one. They want to go for outing, then select a place which may not be fully spiritual, not necessary. Go for outing with devotees and share some simple things, you know, not a fully Krishna consciousness, because It's required like that, because right now they are not in the mood of accepting all spiritual. So it's like, you know, you have to, it's like, you know, when I remember in our, when I was studying in school, and we had a very, very nice teacher. You know? She was very loving. Generally, I always see that when teachers are there, they love most of the students who are very attentive in the class. And they always are angry on people who are like not attentive and boring, and they always chastise them. So this is a generic thing which I always watch in my school days. But there are some teachers who everyone would like, because she would extend for each and every student in the class. So the teacher would know that the front students are very receptive, attentive, which she would teach very nicely. But should extend to those students in the back who do not understand what's happening, because they were not much able to pick up. So she would also extend more to those students during the class and after the class, like that. So I know one time we had this concept of appointing the class monitors and the class leaders who would also take care of the class. So our class teacher, the main class teacher, she appointed one very studious boy from the class as the class leader. And she appointed one boy who was not so studious, backbencher, but appointed him also as the class leader, thinking that by encouraging him, he'll also upgrade his studies or he'll become a good person. So definitely the teacher had to give more time to such people, such students, and she had to give less time because other students were very intelligent, very easy to understand, just give them some notes or some teaching, they'll pick up and they would grasp and they would ready for exams. But for other students, she would have to give them extra assignments or bring them out after the class, teach them more, help them more in their. So her strategy was different for those people in the back, and her strategy for front people were completely different strategy altogether. So when we see that people, when our young boys or youth in Krishna, they don't take up Krishna consciousness, our strategy should be different for them. We can't have one strategy for same. I'll give another example. One time one father was sitting in his house and two of his sons came, and they had come from their school and they got their results on that day. So the first boy came and said, father asked, so how many percentage you got? He said, father, I got 70%. The father became very angry. 70%, what is this? You don't study properly, what is this? Go and study properly. So the child started crying and he went away. After some time, second boy came and said, father, I said, so what's your percentage? And second boy said, father, I got 60%. 60%, father embraced him and told mother, get some prasadam for him, cake and all that, you know. So a third person was watching. The first boy got 70%. He was completely chastised by his father. And the next boy got 60%. So much love and attention. So then he went and asked the father, why so much impartiality you are showing to these kids? He said, the first boy, he always gets 80%. So when he got 80%, this time he got 70%, I became very angry on him. I cannot compromise. The second boy, he always fails, somehow passes borderline. But he got 60%. So I encouraged him. So the point of understanding here is that our dealing with people when we preach has to be different. It cannot be one style. So people who are very serious in Krishna consciousness, upcoming very easily, we give them good dose of Krishna consciousness. But for those who are not taking up Krishna consciousness, we have to go down to the level, help them, be a different person, right, for them, make them comfortable, and try our best. Ultimately, we can only try our best, but we should try our best in such a way that they should be happy, that like our children, even if they don't become such devotees later, but they should not feel that, I don't like my parents. My parents forced me in Krishna consciousness. They should indeed be grateful. They should, in fact, even if they don't become devotees, they should at least be very grateful and say, my father was very nice. They never forced me. They wanted me to become devotee, but they facilitated me. And I'm grateful to them. And they'll always remain grateful. Maybe tomorrow in future, that gratefulness, appreciation for Krishna consciousness, some other person will come and preach to them and they'll become devotees. But if they get burnt out with us, with our preaching style, the way we force them, then they will just completely get put off Krishna consciousness. What to speak of our preaching, if someone else comes to preach them, they will keep away from devotees. So that is one thing. If we have to very, just like a doctor, you know, when some patients visit, It's not like the same medicine he gives to all patients. He reduces the dosage, increases the dosage upon the seriousness of the patient. Doctor deals with every patient uniquely, right? So every case is unique in our preaching. So when we come to people who are not so much interested in Krishna consciousness, we give them something which may interest them. And we have to go to their level. In fact, parents have to definitely go to the level of the kids to help them, make them comfortable at home and be happy. They should feel inside their heart that what they are doing is very great. But I'm not able to do it, so I have a problem. They should not feel that, you know, my parents, what they are doing, that's a problem. I don't want to go ahead for, I don't want to do Krishna consciousness. But the better understanding is that they are doing great, amazing, but I'm not a good person, so I do not take up. So even if they don't take up Krishna consciousness, if that realization is there with them, then that's a good realization. That they feel that Krishna consciousness is something higher. So there's a chance tomorrow or later in their life, they will appreciate and they will do something for Krishna's pleasure, for devotees' pleasure. There is little understanding which I gained from devotees around me when I saw them practicing Krishna consciousness and trying to make their kids into devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu. I really like them. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev. Prabhuji, we are very fortunate that we feel that we are sitting in Shri Radha Gopinath and Maharaj has given a class that much potency, Prabhuji. You are covering so many points. Vaman Bhagwan and the Bali Maharaj is given Atmanivedan. And then Bhagwan is, Vaman Maharaj has become a doorkeeper and kicked the Ravan. The second story you are explain about the cat, get the association of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said so nicely that he is the yogi. So by that way, you teach us that what is the importance of association of Vaishnava. Third point, you teach a rich man's story by Gopal Krishna Maharaj, that association of chant attentively your japa. So you explain us that hearing attentively and chant attentively, when we are hearing attentively, our japa quality become improved day by day. The third example is given by Devamrut Maharaj Pisa. You tell us that not get the satisfaction from that pisa. So that material desire is like that. Every day it's pop up by new material desire. But it's not given a satisfaction. But only and only attentively japa and hearing an association of Vaishnava give and prasadam with Vaishnava give a pleasure. And yes, when we are attending aarti and mrudanga and kartal is going on in the temple, Prabhuji, and the Vaishnava association we're missing from last 5 months. and you are explaining Bhakti Charu Maharaj bhajan and you are teaching us that from material world to spiritual world is very short period. Please get up. Jeev Jago, get up. We don't have much time. Take sincerely your spiritual journey and from material world to spiritual world and chant attentively. And you are given such a nice example of Gaurang Prabhu and both are studying, his friend and he's studying together, and it takes 15 years to understand. Prabhuji, we are in this category. Everything is chappan bhoga is in our plate, but still we are not sincerely taking. Basically, I am coming from Shri Radha Gopinath. Everything is in my plate. Shridham Prabhu Kishori Mataji has given a so strong association. So everything is there, but still I am not sincere because the hearing is not there, Prabhuji. After coming abroad and attending Bhakti Sangha every day, morning class and afternoon class, and even little kids, little Vrunda and little Gopal and little Akanksha teach us how to by heart the sloka and what is their mood, Prabhuji, to serve Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev. How sincerely they are hearing the senior Vaishnava. Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam to you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for your association. Please give your association regularly. Koti koti dandavat pranam.
Thank you. Amazing. You remember all the points of my lecture. That was good hearing. And yes, indeed, I am very much appreciating the wonderful efforts of Bhakti Sangha Conference devotees. It's not easy to keep this going for years and years. a few devotees who are really working so hard. I don't remember all the names. Some Atajis are really working very hard to keep this going. It's like a mini temple. It's not a mini temple. It's a major temple working offline, online.
Yes,
online
yes.
Bhagavatam class, Chaitanya Charitamrit, kids yes. class.
And yes.
I'm learning so much from all of you here. And I
can Bhakti Sangha teachers group. Please forgive me for interrupting. Our Bhakti Sangha teachers, our Bhakti Vilas, Priti Vilasini Gopi, Shyama Gauri, our Indu Gopi, our Vrinda, Vrinda's mother, and our Sita Priti Mataji, and our Lalitangi Gopi, and all Matajis, Prabhuji, working hard. They are studying not 1-2 days, 15 to 20 days to give us Krishna consciousness. We hardly remember 10 to 15 sentences from that. So we are not sincere students, Prabhuji. They are so much working hard to give us Krishna consciousness.
So let us express our gratitude to all these great Matajis and great devotees who are there in this Bhakti Sangha by chanting one time, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Hare, 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 Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama, Rama, Rama, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
And let's pray that Bhakti Sangha should grow more. Let's grow more and more and continue ever after. Thank you very much. Thank you to all of you for joining us here today. Time is already up, so let's ask the organizers to take the mic and do the next proceedings here.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class and very nice points. Like Vrinda Gopika Mataji said, it's really wonderful. We have to always take shelter of lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much,
Prabhuji.
You're very enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you, Prabhuji. And thank you so much for your blessings for Bhakti Sangha group. We look forward for your association again in future, Prabhuji. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here. Let's pay our obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vansha Kalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhu Vyasivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha.